Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. By the way, you reject the word of the Lord, and God rejects you. If you reject God's word, God will reject you. If you reject it, if God's told you to do something and you haven't done it, don't you go to God when you get in trouble and say, God, help me. If you've rejected God's word, God rejects you. The only way to get back right with the Lord is go back to this book right here. That's how important this book is to us. Many folks, that's why so many folks get discouraged. That's why so many folks fall out of church. It's because they get out of church, they mess up their lives, and then they go to God and say, God, help. What you need to do is get back in church and start obeying the word of God again. If you don't want to be rejected of God, don't you reject what he said. You get back to doing what God told you to do, and then you go to God and ask God for his blessings. Don't you expect God's blessings on your life when you've rejected his book? Saul rejected the word of God. And God says, Saul, I've rejected you from being king. You're no longer king. You may sit on the throne for a few more years, but you've lost my power. You may sit there for a while. You may fill a pew, but you'll never be any good to me again. Till you get back to, by the way, Saul never does get back to obeying. Now, he sheds a few tears, but he continues in his sin. He prays a few prayers, but he continues in his sin. And Saul never does come back to the place where God can use him again. And so Saul was rejected as king. God had already chosen a new man. He says, David, you're to be king. But as long as Saul was sitting upon the throne, David did not take over the throneship, and he did not rebel against God's anointed. He waited there until God removed Saul. And so Saul, by the way, look at 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 18. Verse 18 says, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. By the way, not only should we hear God's word, not reject God's word, but we ought to obey what we hear. It says, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. God said this, because you didn't obey my voice, tomorrow you're going to be with me. By the way, everything God does because he loves us. If God has to take you off this earth and put you with him, God does. God says, I tried to, you take a son and say, now son, I want you to obey me. Now don't run across the street. So your son goes out and runs across the street. You bring him back and say, son, I told you, don't run across the street. You can't do it. You disobey me again, you run across the street. I'm going to make you sit in here and sit by me. And the son runs across the street again. You say, son, now I told you, I've warned you, I've told you, I'm going to have to spank you. And if you do it again now, I'm going to have to bring you in here and make you sit by me. So he goes out and runs across the street again. Now you've warned him already. You've already chastised him. And now you say, son, I've warned you, I've chastised you, now you're going to come and sit by me. Now that's what God does sometimes. God says, look, I've warned you, I love you, I'm not doing this because I hate you. God's chastisement is never because of hate. When God takes you home to be with him, it's never because he hates you. It's because he loves you, and he's just trying to keep you out of trouble and say, well, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have to bring you up here and sit by me. I can't keep you out of trouble. I'm going to bring you in here. And God said that to Saul. God says, Saul, I've talked to you, I've warned you, I've even chastised you. Now tomorrow, I'm going to bring you in to sit by me. He said, tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be with me. And so God does that. God loves Saul. God wasn't saying, Saul, I hate you, so I'm going to kill you. God wasn't saying, Saul, I hate you, so I'm going to chastise you. God was saying, Saul, I love you. I want you to be close to me. I want you. If you can't be close to me down there, then I'm going to bring you up here where you will be close to me. I'll just bring you up here, and you'll have to sit by me, and I'll keep you out of trouble up here. I'll keep my eye on you up here. And that's what God will do sometimes. And so God did that to Saul. And God says, Saul, I'm finally going to have to bring you home now. Tomorrow, you're going to be with me. And so he brings Saul home because he disobeyed God, and he would not obey the word of God. He rejected the word of God, and then he did not obey the word of God. And so God says, now I'm going to bring you home to be with me. And so we see from Saul's life, we learn that humility is essential to blessing. When Saul raised up in pride, by the way, that's what causes us to reject the word of God. We think we know better than God. Pride causes us to reject God's word. That's, by the way, that's the reason why we disobey the Word of God, because of pride. When we say, God, I know better than God knows, and I don't have to do everything God says to do, that's because of pride. And he, as long as he was humble, he humbled himself before God, God blessed him. When he rose himself up in pride, he sinned against the Lord, he rejected the Word of God, he disobeyed God's voice, and God eventually had to bring him home. And so we see that because of Saul's sin, because he disobeyed God, God took him away from the throne, and now David becomes king. Now, David does not sit upon the throne now until 2 Samuel. So 2 Samuel begins with David sitting upon the throne. And then 2 Samuel ends. Look at 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Kings 1, 1 says, Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes because he got no heat. So it begins with David getting the throne of Judah. And it ends now when David is old and stricken in years. He's ready to die in his 70th or 71st year, and his son is going to take the throne. So we see then during this period of time is when David reigns upon the throne. This is the book of David's, King David's reign as king over Israel, or actually over Judah first and then over all of Israel. So it's the book of David's reign. So we see David was already anointed king, and now in the book of 2 Samuel, he takes the throne, and this is the book of David's reign. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we'll give kind of a summary of the reign of David. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 4. When David was 30 years old, he began to reign. So David, when he became 30, he became the king. And it says, and he reigned 40 years. So he was king over Israel now for 40 years. He took the throne when he was 30. He reigned for 40 years. And then it divides up his reign in verse 5. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. So David reigned for son Ishbosheth as king over the northern tribe, which is Israel. So David is king for 7 years, actually 7.5 years over Judah. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And so we see then he rules the first 7 years from Hebron over the southern tribes. And then the last 33 years of his reign, he spends up in Jerusalem over all of Israel and Judah. For all 12 tribes, he is king. So he reigns for a total of 40 years. So David becomes king or begins reigning at the age of 30. He reigns for 40 years, 7 years over Hebron, over Judah, and for 33 years from Jerusalem over Israel. So it's the book of David's reign. So as you read the book of 2 Samuel then, it's mainly about David and his reign as king. First 7 years from Judah over Judah, the last 33 years over all of Israel. In David's life then, if we take this entire book of 2 Samuel, we actually can divide David's life into two different sections. And it's almost even, 20 years and 20 years of the 40 years of his reign. So we can divide him up into the first section of his life and the last section of his life. If you look in chapter 5 and verse 7, let's look at the main characteristic of these first 20 years of this first portion of David's reign. In verse 7 it says of chapter 5, it says, Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. So we see that David, when he becomes king, takes the city of Jerusalem. So it's a city that nobody had ever been able to defeat before. And it's a well-walled city. And David defeats the city of Jerusalem, and it makes it his capital city. Look over in chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, After this came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Metheg-Ammah out of the hands of the Philistines. In verse 2, and he smote Moab. In verse 3, he smote also Hadadezer. If you read through that chapter right there, you'll find that there are many more victories that David has as he defeats all the nations that are around him. And he lives a very prosperous reign for the first 20 years. God is blessing him, and he has victory after victory. Look in chapter 10, verse 14. And the children of Ammon saw the Syrians were fled, and they fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. We see that they have victory over the Ammonites. Verse 19, When all the kings that were servants to Hadadezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. We see he defeats the Syrians. So if you read through these first 10 chapters, you see victory after victory after victory. God blesses David's life, and David's life is characterized by victory. Now there's a change that takes place now. In the first 10 chapters, all we see is victory after victory after victory after victory in the life of David. And now we begin to see in the last few chapters here in the book that we see troubles coming upon him. Matter of fact, look in chapter 12 and verse 19. It says, "Then when David saw this servant's whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead." We see David loses his little baby son. And then look in chapter 13, verse 28. It says, "Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now with Ammon's heart is merry with wine. When I say unto you, smite Ammon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." In verse 29, we see that Absalom, one of David's sons, kills Amnon, another one of David's sons. So David loses his baby boy, and then David loses his son Amnon to another one of his sons, Absalom. And then look in chapter 13, verse 20, chapter 15, verse 10. "But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." And now we see Absalom steals the hearts of the people to himself from his father David, and he becomes king now. And he reigns over the throne and even comes into the palace where David had reigned from. And David now flees from his own son, who has set himself up as king. And so then we see in the next few chapters, we see that Absalom, his son, is now put to death. And we see David as he climbs up the stairs up into the walls of Mahanaim and says, would God I had, as he weeps and cries over the death of his son. So we see for years now, David goes through trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. What was the cause of all this trouble? We see the turning point was 2 Samuel chapter 11. That's the turning point in David's life. The first portion of his life is characterized by victory. The last portion of his life is characterized by troubles. We need to learn a very important lesson from the life of David. David was a man after God's own heart. You don't find another person in all the Bible that God says that about. David was a man that God loved. David was a man that loved God. David was a man that had a tender heart for the things of the Lord. David was a man that wanted to obey God. David was a man after God's own heart, one of the great men that ever lived in the Bible. But even a great man like that allowed one day to cause him troubles for the next 20 years. He spent one night with a woman and had troubles for the next 20 years. Say, why didn't David just go to God and get his sin confessed? You'll not find anybody that confessed his sins any more than David did. You'll not find anybody that was brokenhearted over his sin any more than David was. You'll not find a man in the Bible that repented any more than David repented. You read Psalms chapter 51, and you read how he said, "Please, God, give me back the joy of my salvation." There's a man that truly turned from his sins and made things right with God. David lived right with God after his sin. But the troubles didn't leave. If there's one thing, young people, you listen to me, you can go into sin. You can sin, and God will get you back again. You can go into sin, and God will take you back again, and God will use you again. But you better mark it down, you'll have troubles because of sin. You can't erase the punishment for sin. You can get forgiven again, and you can get God's blessings again, but you will still pay for your sin. Why do you think this preacher preaches against sin up here? Just because I don't want you to have a good time? Is that why? No, I know what happens because of sin. You can get forgiven, but you can't escape the troubles. And you'll live in trouble if you go into sin. And you better mark it down, young people. You better just make sure and you determine in your life, I'll not go into sin. I'll not live with troubles the rest of my life. I'll not go through the troubles that sin brings. And you better mark it down and say, I will live a life with a heart that is right with the Lord and not even dabble with sin. I didn't say sin wasn't fun. I said that sin will bring you trouble. I didn't say you wouldn't have a good time sinning. I'm just telling you that sin will bring you trouble. And you can enjoy sin for a season, but you will reap for many seasons. You can enjoy the sin for a time, but you will reap for many times. And you can get right with God and you can be used with God again. And by the way, if you have gone into sin, you get back right with the Lord again and you do what you can with the life that you've got left. The best thing to do is just not to go into sin. Young people, mark it down. I'm trying to save your life and trying to save you some trouble. Don't you even dabble with sin. You better realize you can get forgiven, but you will reap what you have sown. It's a fact. It's a fact like gravity causes things to be pulled down to the earth. It is a fact that you will reap what you've sown. If there is no God in heaven, you will reap what you've sown. That's just a matter of fact. By the way, you reap good and you'll reap good also. You reap good, sow good and you'll reap good also. You sow bad and you will reap trouble. So we better learn from the life of David. His life began with victories. His life began with triumphs. But his life ended with troubles. Say, was he never used of God again? No, he was still a great king. He became again the man after God's own heart. But the troubles did not escape his house. He still had troubles. And he still had problems he had to go through because of that sin. God used him. God loved him. God forgave him. But if there was no God in heaven forgiving you, you're still going to reap just the laws of this universe. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mark it down. You will reap always, every time in the world, you'll reap what you sow. No matter whether there's a God in heaven or not, you're going to reap what you sow. And so we see then, David had victory, and then he had troubles. The turning point of David's life is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, where he goes into sin with Bathsheba. Because of that one night of sin, he goes and kills Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, is put to death. And then he loses his baby son from that relationship with Bathsheba. And then he sees his own children, his other children, as they rebel against him. We see one son rapes one of his daughters, and we see another son kills that son. And we see nothing but troubles in the family of David from days to come because of one night of sin. And so we better realize and learn that the victories that he had in his early life doesn't mean that he's going to live victorious all of his life. One of the biggest problems that happens in the life of a Christian is when they get the blessings of God upon their life, they quit doing what they did to get those blessings. When you start getting God's blessings and start living in God's blessings, don't slack up then. It's exactly what David did. He served God with all his heart. And then one day he said, well, I'll just quit serving God this one day. I'll just stay back from battle just this one time. It's not going to hurt just to take a little break from serving God. I mean, I'm going to serve him when I get done. I'm just taking a little break. I'm just staying back from battle this one time. God's not going to mind. I'm a good man. I've lived a good life. God's blessed me. What's wrong with just taking a little break now? He took one break from serving God, and he fell into sin that ruined his life. When you start serving God, don't let up. You just keep on going. If there's one thing that this preacher right here has a fear of. Say, preacher, are you afraid? I'm scared to death of sin. I am scared to death of sin. I'm afraid to let up. I'm afraid to turn back. I'm afraid to backslide. Because I know once you do, I know in the position I'm in, I know I could never be used of God again. And the way that God can use me if I keep my life pure. Many preachers let up. They get a big church, get a big, beautiful auditorium, and that's one of my least fears right now. And a big, beautiful auditorium, and a lot of money coming in, and things are going good. No, you can't let up then. Can't quit soul winning then. Get packed the auditorium, got to keep on soul winning anyway. You don't go soul winning to pack an auditorium. You go soul winning because God said to. You don't run buses to pack an auditorium. You run buses to get people saved. That's what it's all about. And that's, by the way, as long as we keep our eyes on that thing right there, getting folks saved and getting folks into heaven. If we pack this place out, we're going to go soul winning. We're not going soul winning to get this place filled up. We're going soul winning because God said to. If there's not another seat in this auditorium, we're going to go soul winning. If we don't have any place to put them, if they got to sit on the roof, we're going to go soul winning. And we're going to go soul winning because God said to. And that's what's important to do. And so he let up. And as a result of letting up, he fell into sin. And he had troubles in his life as a result of the sin. Let's look then at the outline. We can outline it in the same way. First of all, David's triumphs in 2 Samuel chapter 1 through 10. And the key verse is in chapter 5 and verse 10. Look at that if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, and David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. The reason that David grew great is because the Lord was with him. By the way, that ought to be the goal of every person's life, is to say, I want to spend my life with God with me. That means where I go, I better make sure that where I go, God can go too. I better make sure that what I do, God can do with me. I better make sure that what I say is something that God can hear. I better make sure that, by the way, in my life, I better make sure that God's with me. And David grew great because God was with him. And we better just mark it down. If God's going to bless our life, it's going to be because he's with us. And we better make sure that we're doing the things that God can stay with us about. And where we can, by the way, one of the best ways I can find of making sure God's with me. You know what you need to do? You ever need to get a hold of God? I'll give you a tremendous secret right here. You ever need to get a hold of God? You ever want to know that God's around? I'll show you how to do it. One of God's promises is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. If I ever need to know that God's with me, and if I ever need an answer from heaven where I know God's right there, that he can hear me, all you got to do is just go and lead somebody to the Lord. The Bible says, if you'll go, lo, I'm with you always. That's pretty good, isn't it? If I want to make sure I got God's attention, if I've got something I've got to get a hold of God about, I'll just go soul winning. And then when I'm going soul winning, after I lead somebody to the Lord, I'll say, Lord, I know you're here now. You promised it. You said if I'd go, lo, you'd be with me. And Lord, I need to talk to you for a couple minutes. You just take a promise like that. By the way, I'm one of those nuts that believes the Bible. I'm one of those people that say, I believe when God makes a promise, he's going to keep his promise. And I said, God, you said if I'd go that you'd be with me, and I just need just a couple minutes of your time. You'll get a hold of God right then. You go lead somebody to Jesus, and I'll guarantee you God's there. Or this book's a lie, and we may as well just throw it out. Either God's with you when you go soul winning, or this book's a lie, one or the other. You have trouble getting a hold of the Lord? Just go win somebody to the Lord. Just win somebody to Jesus. And then say, the heavens are no longer brass, Jesus. You're there, and you're with me right now. I know it. It's promise. You promised me. And I know you're going to listen to me now. That's the best way I know. If you got to, man, go out and shoot a sparrow. God says there's not one sparrow that falls that I don't know about. And say, God, that sparrow right there is laying there, and you know about it, and I need your attention for a couple minutes. If you got to, just pull a hair out of your head and say, Lord, you said every hair that's there, you know every hair, it's every one of them numbered. And you knew that one fell out. Lord's with me every morning when I take a shower, I'll tell you for sure. Especially this section right here. And you would never would have noticed that if I didn't draw your attention to it. And he knows. You need to get a hold of the Lord. Just grab a promise and find out when God's with you, and then just do it, and God will be there. He promised. You want to have God's blessings? You just make sure God's with you all the time. Just make sure he's there, and you can live in his blessings. Then secondly, we see the sad part of the book is David's troubles. We see he has troubles with his family, and even later has troubles with his nation. And it all came about as a result of David's sin. The key verses, if you look in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 12, verse 9 says, Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. By the way, you cannot mock God. You can't do it. God says, when you disobeyed me, you despised me. You mocked me just now, David, and you cannot mock me, and the sword will not depart out of your house. So we see as a result of his sin, God's sword did not depart out of the house of David. Then we see, if we look at the book as a whole, many bright spots in the life of David. And David was a man after God's own heart. God is a forgiving God, and God is a merciful God. And God did take David back when David repented. And God did forgive him of his sins. And God did bless David again. But the sad mark in David's life was his sin that turned his triumphs into troubles. We see, and if we look at David, the book of 2 Samuel as a whole, we see that the triumphs of David's early reign were turned to troubles as a result of sin. His triumphs were turned into troubles as a result of sin. And we can just kind of take a key to the entire book then. One theme that we can learn in our lives is that sin turns triumphs into troubles. Sin turns triumphs into troubles. By the way, let me just say this. If you sin, and if you fall out of the blessings of God, the way to get back to be used of God again is to make your repentance as well known as your sin. And David did that. David said, I sinned, and I'm going to let everybody know that I'm back right with the Lord again. When a person sins, if your sin is well known, you have to make your repentances as well known as your sin. And you do that, and you can be used again. David knew he had done wrong. He repented to the Lord. He wrote psalms about his repentance. And God used him again. He was still a great king, but yet he still had to reap what he had sown. And so let's learn. I guess we can learn from the book of David that we're going to reap what we've sown. Also, we can learn the great mercy of God. God's a merciful God. You sin, God still loves you. God still will bring you back to him again. God will still bless you because of his mercy. Not only do we see sowing and reaping, we see God's tremendous mercy. When we fall away from the Lord, and by the way, there's nobody that's perfect, we can fall into the hands of a merciful God. We can say, Dear God, I'm glad that you're a God full of mercy. Please use me again and help me to be a help to others in this world we live. So we see David's sin brings troubles. We see God's mercy brings us back into fellowship with him again. And we can be used of him again if we'll just repent of the sin, turn back to him, and be used of God. So that's the book of 2 Samuel then. It's the book of David's reign. David's reign is divided up into two sections. His first 20 years and his last 20 years. His first 20 years are characterized by triumphs and victories. His last 20 years are characterized by troubles. Now, I'm not saying that it was all trouble. He had many blessings and there were many good things. But the main characteristic was the troubles that he had. God did bless him again. God did use him again. But we see many troubles that he had to go through as a result of that one sin. So we see the triumphs because he put God first and served the Lord. We see the troubles as a result of sin. But yet we see God's mercy upon David. When David turned from his sin, repented, got right with the Lord again, God says, I'll just use you from this point on. Use you to the extent that you can be used now. Maybe I can't use you like I could have before, but I can still use you. And God uses David now in the days to come. God's merciful to him. And so we see then 2 Samuel, sin turns triumphs into trouble, and yet God's great mercy on those who sin. And let's pray. Lord, bless now, we pray. Help us to realize how much you love us and that everything you do in our life is because you love us and you want us to live in your blessings and you want to draw us closer to you. I pray you'll help every one of us to realize that great love for us, that great mercy that we must depend upon each day, and help us to live true and clean and pure and right in your eyes. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.